Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Beth Emmanuel is committed to proclaiming the vital gospel message of the coming kingdom of heaven. If you share our passion for this message, please support this teaching ministry and messianic community with your prayers and financial contributions. To learn how, click on the support tab at BethEmmanuel.org.
The sound of the shofar is likened to that of an alarm, a warning alarm, as it says in Jeremiah 4, I hear the sound of the shofar, the alarm of war. And in Ezekiel it says, if anyone hears the sound of the shofar and does not take warning, his blood shall be on his own head. Because in ancient Israel, the shofar was functioning as a sort of civil defense alarm. And in a spiritual sense, it does so as well. But I think I liken it more to an alarm clock, an alarm clock alarm. Is there anything worse than the sound of an alarm clock when you've not had enough sleep and it makes this terrible sound at 5 in the morning, forcing you out of a cozy slumber? That grating, irritating sound, that terrible, annoying beep, beep, beep. It's not a pleasant sound. And really, neither is the sound of the shofar what you would call a pleasant sound. The sages compared it to the sound of a woman keening and wailing. It's supposed to be a jarring sound because it's supposed to be an alarm. I call it a spiritual alarm clock. Maimonides said that the sound of the shofar is supposed to wake us up. It's supposed to wake us up from spiritual slumber. And likewise, Paul says that the sound of the shofar will wake the dead from their slumber. The shofar of Messiah will wake the dead, that's a heck of an alarm clock. Yeshua says, an hour is coming when those who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. And those who have done good to a resurrection of life, those who have done evil to a resurrection of judgment. And in association with the same concept, the epistle to the Ephesians says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and the Messiah will shine on you. So the shofar is supposed to wake the one sleeping in the dust. The light of Messiah, then, is compared to the daylight of morning that you see. When you wake up, your alarm's going off, you open your eyes, and you see the light. The resurrection of the dead is one of the many themes of Rosh Hashanah, and its association with the holiday is derived from the trumpet itself, and also from the story of the Akedah in Genesis 22, which is read on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. That's the story of how God called Abraham to take his son, his only son, the one he loved, Isaac, offer him up as a burnt offering on Mount Moriah. According to the old legend, when Isaac was laid out on the altar, he died. His soul left his body. He swooned and he died. But Hashem returned his soul to him, and he was resurrected. He stood up on his feet, and he recited the blessing, Baruch atah Hashem mechayei hametim, blessed are you, Lord, who resurrects the dead. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, we talked about how every morning, when we wake up from a night of sleep, we experience a little foretaste of the resurrection. We say, I gratefully thank you, living and eternal King. You return my soul within me with compassion. Because while we've been sleeping, our soul's been out on business. We said that sleep is 1/60th of death. Our divine soul, the neshama, is out of the body. So every morning after waking up, we recite a short prayer thanking God for resurrecting us from the dead. So I hope you see the obvious connection then that I'm making here between Rosh Hashanah and getting out of bed in the morning. And believe it or not, that's what I want to talk to you about. It's an idea closely tied to the Torah portion for the second day of Rosh Hashanah, where it says in Genesis 22, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. And he said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah, offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took his two young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and went to the place of which God told him. It's remarkable enough that Abraham is able to do this without complaint, that he doesn't argue with Hashem over the matter, he doesn't implore him to change his mind. Abraham's willingness to cross over the line of his own natural paternal affections in the service of God has been a point of inspiration for thousands of years now. But the really remarkable thing about this story is not just that he was willing to obey God's commandment, but that he did it with alacrity. Hashem did not tell Abraham when to carry out his commandment, when to execute Isaac in the sacrifice. So if it was me, I think I might have put it off for a few days or years. But instead, Abraham gets to it immediately. In fact, it says, Abraham rose early in the morning, and the sages derive from this that when you have a mitzvah to perform, you should do it with alacrity, right away, top priority, without delay. There's other principles derived from this passage along similar lines. For example, it says that Abraham himself saddled his donkey and cut the wood for the burnt offering. And so the sages ask, why didn't he have his two young men do the work? Abraham's an old man. What's he doing saddling donkeys and chopping wood? Why not have them saddle the donkey and cut the wood? From this, the sages derive that when you have a mitzvah to do, you should do it yourself, not relying on others to fulfill it for you. You should personally carry it out, if at all possible, because this is in the service of the king. It's your mitzvah. Don't give it away. Don't forfeit the reward by having someone else chop the wood or saddle the donkey for you. Instead, take ownership. Take charge yourself. But the main idea I'm showing you here is this concept of alacrity based upon the words, Abraham rose early in the morning. In a discussion about when is the proper time in a day to fulfill a mitzvah, such as circumcising a Jewish boy, when it says on the eighth day, it doesn't say what time of day, it just says on the eighth day. The Talmud explains that since it says day, obviously you have to wait at least until daylight, but then the whole day is valid for performing the mitzvah, any time during the day. But the zealous do it as early as possible. So the Talmud says, those with alacrity fulfill the mitzvah promptly, as it is written, Abraham rose very early. So what do we learn from Abraham rose very early? I see two things here. First is the mida of alacrity, and second is that of priority. Alacrity is the quality of expedience, getting right to an obligation and getting it done quickly and without procrastination. In fact, you could say that alacrity is the opposite of procrastination. Priority is the principle of placing first things first, doing the important things on the list first, like eat your vegetables and then you can have your dessert. The vegetables take priority over the dessert. Or like the master says, seek the kingdom first and then all this other stuff will be added to you as well. Both alacrity and priority are essential matters in the service of Hashem. As a parent, few things are more irritating to you than when you task a child to do something and they say, I will, but then do not. Instead, the child continues to read a book, stare at a phone, watch a TV show, play a game, video game, some other amusement, whatever. So you give it a few minutes and then you say, are you going to wash the dishes or not? And the child says, I will, later. But then later, of course, when later comes, the child does not, has not. So you say, I thought you said you were going to wash the dishes. And the child says, I forgot. So do it now. And the child says, I will, later. So as a parent, it's easy, to see how procrastination is really just a passive form of disobedience. But as an adult, we engage in the same types of procrastination in our relationship with Hashem and our obligations to Hashem all the time. The mitzvah is right in front of us, but everything else is suddenly more important. I know we should have Shabbat guests over. Why not this week? Later. We'll do it some other time. I know I should daven mincha, but I still have time. I can get it in later. I know I should study the parsha. I should study Torah. I'll do it after dinner. I'll do it after I watch this entertaining television show. And this happens 1,000 times a day in our relationship with Shem, where we prioritize the wrong things. And in our relationships with others, with our fellow man, to love our fellow as ourself. That's the priority, right? That should be the priority, but it gets excluded on the basis of procrastination. It's not that we mean to. It's not that we meant to neglect our brother, our sister, our fellow man. We didn't mean to neglect a person. What is the stuff that gets prioritized for us? It's our appetites, our personal desires, our selfishness, our amusements. But if we are to seek the kingdom first, we need to put the things of the kingdom first. We need to put them ahead of other things, and that's the trick. That's the matter of priority, and that's the matter of alacrity. Procrastination is the enemy of progress in every and any endeavor. And the evil inclination himself is a professional procrastinator. In fact, you can use that to your advantage, since he even procrastinates in his duties. He sleeps in. He always sleeps in. Early to bed, early to rise, not for the evil inclination. He wants to stay up late and sleep in late. So early to bed, early to rise might not make you healthy, wealthy, and wise, but it's very likely to make you more spiritually successful and to give you the edge on the evil inclination, because while he's still sleeping in, you can be doing mitzvot. In his biography of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Joseph Telushkin tells a series of stories that illustrates the Rebbe's emphasis on alacrity and priority. When there's a mitzvah to be accomplished, the Rebbe insisted on it being performed immediately, even if it meant at great inconvenience, and even if it meant waking someone in the middle of the night. His main point was that if a mitzvah presents itself, it needs to be attended to right away, because time is precious. It's short. There's never enough. So don't waste it. Yeshua told a parable about a procrastinating son. His father said to his two sons, "Go work in the vineyard today." One said, "I will," but he did not. The other said, "I can't," but he did. The evil inclination has two ploys. One is temptation, tempting us to do something forbidden. The other is procrastination and lethargy, dissuading us and discouraging us from performing a positive commandment. The Proverbs say, "I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns, the ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, want like an armed man." If this proverb holds true in the material world, how much more so does it in the spiritual realm, where we forfeit our reward in the world to come for the sake of laziness, apathy, and lethargy? Our master tells us to store up reward in heaven. Have you ever had one of those days where you sleep in, which is wonderful, feels wonderful, but then when you finally get up, it's as if your entire day is ruined? And why is it ruined? I mean, why should it be ruined? You had a wonderful, extra delicious 2 hours of sleep. It's ruined because you recognize the potential of all that you could have done, wanted to get done already, and how that opportunity is already gone, already wasted. You can never get those 2 hours back. And what is more, once lethargy has set in, once we begin to give in to the evil inclination, it opens the door to more and more lethargy and procrastination. This principle of alacrity and priority applies to all our tasks in life. When the dishes are piled to the ceiling, it's hard to find the motivation to do them. You know, you're looking at it and you're saying, "That's going to take me 2 hours to clean the kitchen." But when a person makes a point to wash them up after each meal right away, then there's never more than a few to do, and the kitchen is always clean. The same principle applies to all areas of life. It's not a secret. Successful people are early risers. Our master modeled it. So for us, it's a matter of discipleship. It says, Mark 1:35, "Rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed." This is a matter of discipleship. As it says in the good book, the early bird gets the worm. What does the late bird get? Nothing. But the mitzvah takes effort. It takes effort to do the hard thing, to do the right thing. In every situation, the easy thing is the wrong thing. So here's a simple rule to live by. When you have a difficult choice to make, you can't decide, choose the harder thing, because 9 times out of 10, the hard thing is the right thing. The hard thing to do is to get out of bed when the alarm goes off and not hit the snooze button. Get up, do your devotion, say your prayers, do your chores, organize your day, get a head start on things. The easy thing to do is hit the snooze button. You might say, "Oh, well, yeah, but I'm a night owl," which is fine. Just make sure you're not one of those night owls that tend to drink too much and binge watch on Netflix at night. Paul says, "For you are all children of the light, children of the day." We are not of the night or of the darkness. Chaim Luzzatto says, you will find that all the deeds of the righteous are always done speedily. Regarding Abraham, it says, Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, 3 seahs of fine flour, knead it, make it into cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, and he took a calf, tender and good, and he gave it to the young man who prepared it quickly. This teaches that all the deeds of the righteous are done quickly. They don't allow time to slip away, neither regarding the commencement of a mitzvah nor its completion. King David said in Psalm 119, I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. And the Talmud says, one should always run to perform a mitzvah, even on Shabbat. And this principle we see at work in our master's life when he healed on the Sabbath. He didn't say to people, go away, come back after the Sabbath. But when a need was presented before him, he acted quickly and without delay. Here's the thing with alacrity, lethargy, and the accomplishment of a task. We know, Yeshua teaches, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But the problem is, if you give in to physical lethargy and procrastination, it creates an inner spiritual lethargy, which inspires more indolence and laziness and self-indulgence, more and more and more. And this is the same principle the sages teach. One sin leads to another sin. And soon, both the spirit and the flesh are weak, and no one's willing. But if you instead just push past that initial resistance of the flesh, though the flesh is weak, nevertheless, push past that weakness and jump into the task with energy. Then that physical initiative kindles within the spiritual person an inner enthusiasm which inspires a person's spirit to more action. And this is on the principle one mitzvah leads to another mitzvah, and soon both the spirit and the flesh are strong. Rosh Hashanah is our New Year's Day. It's the time to make resolutions and get stuff pulled together, get life back on the derrick, so to speak. Time to start some new habits. Put first things first. Do the hard things. Tackle the task right away. Get out of bed and quit making excuses for yourself. When I was a teenage kid, I used to have a Keith Green album, and he had this song called Asleep in the Light. And it had this one line in the song that has always stayed with me. It said, how can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave, and you can't even get out of bed. As disciples of Yeshua, we are called sons and daughters of the kingdom. But the kingdom will be only for the alacritous. And this is why there are 2 resurrections of the dead. At the beginning of the kingdom, at the commencement of the 1,000 years, the alarm will go off when the great shofar sounds. Then the righteous and Messiah will hear the voice of the shofar, and they will rise from their graves, and they will say, Modei ani lefanecha melech chai v'chayam, shechachzarta bi nishmati b'chemla rabba emunateka. I gratefully thank you, O living and eternal King, for you have returned my soul within me with compassion, abundant is your faithfulness. And they will enjoy the delights and privileges of the kingdom with King Messiah until the end of the world. And this is called the first resurrection, the resurrection of the righteous. But in truth, most people, when they hear the shofar, when the alarm goes off, most people will not get up. Instead, they will hit the snooze button and remain in their graves, sleeping in, so to speak, an extra 1,000 years. And they'll sleep right through the kingdom. When they finally wake up, disoriented and dismayed, in what is called the second resurrection, they'll find that they missed the whole kingdom, and they'll find themselves before the throne of judgment. And this is the deeper meaning behind the words, Abraham rose very early in the morning. Abraham will rise with the first resurrection, along with the righteous, who then will be seated at his table, at the table of Abraham. And we too should merit to be among those who rise early, along with our master Yeshua, who rose early on the first day and left the tomb before dawn, so that when the women came to the tomb, though it was still so early that it was yet dark, When they arrived, he was already long gone. Let the shofar be an alarm clock for you. Time is running out. It's precious. Every minute, every moment is valuable. Let's agree to quit wasting time. On Rosh Hashanah, the alarm is sounding. Don't hit the snooze button again.
Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.